corporate homie. Da-da-da-da. Discipline.
Motivation is the why, and the discipline is the what.
Begin with the end in mind.
Discipline is what you need after the motivation leaves. On today's episode of Corporate Homie,
how to promote yourself. Show your expertise through stories, not words.
I'm hardworking, and I always meet my deadlines.
Make your talents visible. What's up, homies?
Welcome back to the Corporate Homie Podcast.
Woo hoo! It's March.
It is March. So that means March Madness.
Go Lady Vols, although.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Go Lady Vols.
Every team we love is struggling.
Remember when March Madness used to mean we would go to the final, women's final four, because the Lady Vols would be in the women's final four. Oh, the good old days.
Yeah, like we literally have not won a championship in
Stop.
Okay. All right. March also means Women's History Month. How about that?
Yes. Okay. Women's History. International Women's History Month. Yes.
So we're going to do a little treat for the homies this month. And every podcast episode in March, we'll have a little bit of women's history or women who have inspired us, a little focus on women to in honor of Women's History Month.
I like that. Okay. I'm with it. But before we get into that, let's get into the episode. This episode is about
how to promote yourself.
Right. Bragging. So
bragging without looking like a jerk.
So one of my favorite books, and I encourage all the homies to get it, is Brag: The Art of Tooting Your Own Horn Without Blowing It. And it's it's a phenomenal book. It's written by Peggy Kloss. I've really enjoyed it. And a lot of my tips come from that book and things that I've learned over the years. But
This topic is near and dear to my heart because I find it absolutely annoying when people shout themselves out on social media. For example, I was scrolling through my timeline a few months ago and someone shouted themselves out for an act of gratitude that they had done. And I thought, you can't do that. You can't do something nice for somebody and then shout yourself out on it. That's not allowed.
Oh, contraire mon frere. That's what the book is about. You've got to learn how to promote yourself.
There's a way to do that with humility.
But without...
It was obnoxious.
But without, you know, annoying people. So before we get into tips, I want to just start by sort of saying or dispelling some of the myths. Because especially for women and minorities, we tend to start with this fundamental belief that you should not brag on yourself, that you know, bragging is inappropriate, or as some people say, that brag is a four-letter word. Like, don't brag. You don't need to brag. Let someone else brag for you. You know,
well, like, I think in many ways, for women and people of color, it feels uncomfortable to brag on yourself.
Well, because like I said, because people have taught you these myths, and here's some of them that I want to dispel, because people grow up telling you things like a job well done is going to speak for itself, or bragging is something you do during a performance review, or hard work is enough, or humility will get you noticed, or, you know, good people, or, you know, don't brag, only jerks brag. And those are all completely and utterly untrue.
I just want to say, and this will be an interesting episode, because I definitely think there's an art to it where you don't come across as, I would like to use a word stronger than jerk, but the point of this is how to do it without coming across as a jerk.
Right. So that's what I was about to say. So the first thing is you have to do is sort of abolish these myths, these taught and ingrained things into your psyche, because unless you can, you know, unlearn, for a better phrase or a better word, these past behaviors that were lovingly taught to us, then you won't feel comfortable when it's time to promote yourself in appropriate times and places. And there are, and corporate America most certainly is a place, and work, and sometimes, dare I say it, social media is a place to appropriately promote yourself, but there is an art to it.
So with that spirit, you know, I was thinking about, I like to watch, as I've mentioned on here, sometimes trashy reality television. And I watch a particular show where the lady has self-proclaimed herself a relationship expert. And, you know, one of the things that I would say is one of the ways that you can promote yourself is share, you know, what you're passionate about. So, for example, you can say, I'm passionate about social media, and I do that through these examples, versus calling yourself an expert. And then by virtue of doing that and showing yourself and showing your passion for social media, other people will start to call you an expert.
Yes, and I completely agree with that. And I want to add a little tip to that. If you're going to call yourself an expert, and I feel like, especially now with millennials, everyone says that they're an expert about everything, then you need to have something, some experience, some data points that support your expertise. And so once you find that passion, then you need to say, I am an expert because I have done, you know, I have written 10 articles about this, or I have given 10 speeches on this. And so you may want to, if you want to be an expert, set that as a goal so that then you can start using that moniker. But you just can't say, I'm an expert, and then, you know, make it so when you actually have done nothing in the space.
Right. And my second tip is you show yourself to be an expert by telling stories of how you've done those things, giving examples of how you've done those things, because then people can follow that expertise through the stories and anecdotes versus words. So say, you know, I have done this through our, I had an opportunity to do this, that, and the other, and I've done that on multiple occasions. That's different than saying, you know, words. So I would say show your expertise through stories, not words.
Yeah, I think that everyone who, you know, wants to brag or to self-promote needs a plan, and to think about, okay, I want sort of, you know, it's what we talk about a lot on the podcast. What do I want my brand to be? And if you want it to be that I am hardworking, then you have to think of what is a story I could tell, like Bimitra is saying, that demonstrates I'm hardworking, as opposed to saying the words simply I'm hardworking. You could do both. So you could say something like, you know, I'm not afraid of some hard work. I mean, you know, I had to stay up till 3 a.m, you know, after getting home late last night, you know, to finish the deal, even though I had an obligation with my children. I still came in, you know, to record the podcast because, you know, I get stuff done. So that tells a couple of things about yourself through the story, that you're hardworking, that you meet deadlines, that you honor your obligations, things like that, without you just saying, I'm hardworking and I always meet my deadlines and stuff like that. So I completely agree that you definitely need storytelling to go along with it. My next tip is, one of the easiest ways to promote yourself is when someone asks you, how's it going? Or what are you working on? Instead of just the trite, oh, I'm fine. Or, you know, are you busy? Yes, I'm busy. You know, brag it up a little bit. You know, you could say something like, you know, things are going great. Thanks. I just finished I'm so excited. I just closed a big deal on the such and such. And it was very exciting because we've been pursuing this, you know, prospect for blah, 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 blah. So again, it's a almost like a story, although you're answering a question and you're giving an example of something that's going on as opposed to just I'm doing great.
And I think whatever details you can share, it also turns into a referral tool and shows people what kind of referrals to send to you. You know, we've been busy on working on, you know, whatever, a life insurance premium, or we just did a pitch to bring a manufacturing company out of bankruptcy. I don't know. But whatever details that you're allowed to share without breaching any type of confidentiality, what you will find is that when you're sharing those stories, people will hear, oh, these are the kind of opportunities to send to you. These are the kind of things that you're good at. These are the kind of things that you have experience doing. And that flows very nicely into my next tip, which is learn to say I when you're telling your stories and not we. And this is something.
Hello, somebody, because women and minorities are always on that teamwork stuff. It's,
right. And let me say this, like, I mean, that's why I said it is a little uncomfortable, but it's necessary. I led the team in doing blah, 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 blah. I, you know, help facilitate. I did this. When you say we, people can't see you. They only see the organization. They only see the team. And I can tell you, they're not picturing you in some type of leadership or front runner situation. So as you tell those stories, learn to say I and not we.
Right. It, especially when it is, I mean, don't lie if it's not an I, but when you've had the lead role, because we do live in a patriarchal society where what we have been socialized is that the white man is the hero. And so when people hear we, they hear a white guy
singing
led
in the
team,
background.
Right. That you're singing in the background. My next tip is keep it simple. Like, avoid embellishing your contributions or spinning a tall tale. I'm not saying that, you know, you don't want to tell a story that doesn't have some color to it, because you do. You do want to have color to it and it have some finesse so that people have a good sense of the story that you're telling, but you don't want to be, you know, clinical in the way you're sharing it, but don't over exaggerate your contributions to the matter, or don't.
Yeah, that gets you fired.
Over exaggerate the success of the matter, because once you lose credibility with the listener, then the whole idea of the self-promotion has been lost.
Yeah, over embellishment is always a bad idea. My next tip is make your talents visible. And I had the pleasure, speaking of Women's History Month, of hearing a dynamic woman speak, Carla Harris, who also happens to be a member of our great sisterhood, Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated. And she has a great book out called Strategize to Win. And she talked about the difference between relationship currency and performance currency. And she essentially said that you have to have three adjectives how you want people to describe you when you're not in the room, which means that you have to make your talents visible. You have to tell people what you're good at. And she used the example of when she was trying to get promoted to managing director, they told her she wasn't tough enough. And so she had a reputation of being very thorough to help CEOs before they took their companies public. And she said she intentionally started calling herself tough. And so she would say, well, tell me about this CEO. What's he like before I go in and talk to him? Because, you know, I've got tough questions. And then people started referring to her as tough. So she was saying, make your talents visible. In other words, this is what we're talking about. Shout yourself out. Describe yourself how you want to be described.
That's interesting. And what I was thinking about is you made a great point that, you know, lots of times, you know, big decisions about what's happening with your career take place when you're not in the room, right? Your evaluation takes place when you're not in the room. People decide if you're getting promoted when
you're
not in the room.
Clients decide if they're going to hire you.
Hire you when you're not in the room. And so my next tip is to make sure your fans get it right. So
get people preaching the gospel or whatever your name is in a process.
Right. And that they have the right information to do that. And we talk about this a lot with your keeping a hero sheet or a hero file. But if you know you are about to go up for a big pitch, or you're going up to be promoted, or you're going up, you know, for something that you're not going to be in the room, it's nothing wrong with sort of having your little cheat sheet filled out, having bullet points ready, so your fans, the people who want to promote you, have accurate information to do so when you're not
in the room. It's no different than when you were applying to graduate school or law school, or you're applying to get into a leadership program and you ask someone to write you a letter. If you do it right, you start the letter.
You write the first draft.
That's right. So that they can tell your narrative in the best way, and then put their own voice to it. But they need the concrete meat and potatoes to do that proper, to, as you say, to have your fans, to have your sponsors within the organization, to have people talking, speaking good things about you. I love that. My next tip is own your accomplishments. So I think this goes back to where you opened up, Demetra, where you were saying, you know, we're taught not to brag, not to shout ourselves out. It particularly for the women homies, for the female homies. Somebody says, "You look nice today." "Oh, this old thing? Oh, I just threw this together." That's not the spirit at work. So, great job. "Oh, it was nothing. It was a team effort. I've been working hard on this for months, and it's really nice to see all of my hard work paid off. I first started prospecting them 18 months ago. And so it's very fulfilling to get them to get to the finish line today." You've got to.
Because I'm going to tell you, I have definitely seen when people don't do that, at least in my profession, where that has come back, that teamwork stuff, and some other guy comes in, steps up, and he takes credit for the team. And dare I say it, he is compensated as if he led the team, and some woman or young person actually led, not the team, but certainly led the deal getting through the door. But because they had not mastered the art of bragging, it got lost, and he had that down, and he was walking through the halls like, you know, Jay-Z, "Show me what you got. Show me what you got, little mama. Show me what you got, pretty lady." Hey, hey.
Here's the crazy part.
What?
The greatest self-promoter of all time, in my mind, is Muhammad Ali. He's like, I'm the
Muhammad
greatest.
Muhammad Ali, without question.
And we believe he's the greatest because he told us he was. If you actually go look at his win-loss record, he wasn't the greatest.
But that's actually most people that are great. It is from them telling us. I say that all the time. In the law firm, the people that I think are amazing trial lawyers, I have never seen them try cases. I believe they are great trial lawyers because they told me they were great trial lawyers. And then I go around, there go a disciple of theirs like, oh my gosh. I mean, Jenny, she's amazing. I mean, she's a great, I mean, she does billion-dollar litigation, but I've never seen her.
Making your talents visible.
Because she told me so.
Making your talents visible.
Make your talents visible. That's right. Get your fans on board. Yes, for sure. And I do, like I said, it is something that is often uncomfortable. I think it's something that it's a muscle you're going to have to practice with, because we do, like Demetra said, especially as women, especially as people of color, we've been fed a lie that if you put your head down, someone's going to walk in your office, see you working hard in the middle of the night, and promote you. And that
is
not true.
It doesn't work that way. That's not how this works. That's not how any.
That's not how any of this works.
Any of this works.
How this works. You know, I would also attest that, you know, you're doing all of these things. If you're not comfortable doing it, start practicing tomorrow. Small things, composing an email that says, "We are excited about whatever it is that you've done." And the thing about corporate America is to change your narrative, to get people on board to believe what you want them to believe. It doesn't take but a lot of small touches. But small, consistent touches, and you can change that narrative in one quarter.
And I would dare say, if you're not comfortable doing that work, start on social media. Social media is a great place to start saying, I'm a speaker. I speak. And once you tell people that you speak, that, like, if let's say that's one of the things you want to add to your repertoire, I want to do more public speaking. Then you get up and you say, like, out here working on my notes for my next speech, preparing for my next speech. Then people see you.
Demetria puts up D speaks, and I've seen other people steal that and say she speaks. So it works.
Right. Gone. My hashtag when I speak is gone speaking. Right. So then people start saying, oh, Demetria speaks. I'm looking. Then someone's on a planning committee. They're looking for a speaker. They're calling you. Or if you want to say, I would like to, you know, do more philanthropic work, then start, like Demetria said, posting yourself with this thing you have a passion for. You have a passion for children who are first generation college students. Start posting articles about children that are first generation college students. Post a picture of you going to a luncheon that is celebrating or supporting that. People start realizing that's something you're interested in. It's a way to connect you with your brand, with your value.
No question. Social media is a powerful tool of promotion that we did not have access to even 10 years ago. And it can 100% help you change your narrative, or more importantly, highlight your narrative. And a lot of times it's things that you're already doing. You're just making sure that everyone is aware of it.
And as you always say, and being more intentional.
Intentional.
So like we highlighted two books, Carla Harris's book. What's the name of it again, Demetria?
Strategize to Win.
And then Peggy Kloss's book, which is called Brag, The Art of Tooting Your Own Horn Without Bragging It, Without Blowing It. Mm-hmm. Encourage you to get both of those books. You know, we say this all the time. These topics are very quick on here. This is a topic that if you want to master this, you're not going to be able to listen to a 20-minute episode and get down. You're going to have to spend a little time on it. We encourage you to dig down on this topic. Okay, going on the women's history. So my person for our first International Women's History woman that I want to highlight is someone near and dear to my heart, someone who was born during Women's History Month, who's probably had the greatest impact on me as a woman, and that is Carolyn Demetria Johnson Liggins.
Our mom.
And I must say, for those of you who don't know, that's my mama. I think that mom, you know, when I really look back now that I am a woman, she literally was every woman, as Chaka Khan would say. She was every woman. She was, at times when we were growing up, she was a homemaker. At times she was a college student. At times she was a graduate student. At times she was a career woman. At times she was a first lady. On some days she was all of those things.
A caretaker.
On the same day. She was, and I have seen her on so many roles. I think she is one of the reasons why I consider myself a very complex woman who does not fit in just one box. Oh, the professional woman that can't cook. I'm like, no, I can try a case. I can make, you know, a homemade cake. I can make dressing from scratch, you know,
hem my own pants,
right? Change my oil, all of that because of mama. And so that's who I wanted to highlight for our first Women's History Month.
Well, there's no way I can top that. So
no, but who did you have? No,
I was going to talk about Nanny, but
oh, that's so funny. Okay, that's great. Yeah, go ahead. That's so, Carolina, Virginia, Belle Johnson.
So, you know, our grandmother.
That's Carolyn's mother.
Carolyn's mom, our nanny, our grandmother. May she rest in peace. So Nanny was an amazing woman who was raised in Memphis, Tennessee, in the segregated South, and yet had a passion for education and understood that education was the great equalizer. No one loved their family more. She was a fierce lover of not only her immediate family, but she did a lot to look after her sisters and their kids, and always stressed to us that we were special and we could do anything we wanted to do in life. And I would say, outside of my mother and father, she was the first person that I knew loved me unconditionally and encouraged me to do any and everything that I wanted to do. And listening to her, I believed that it was all possible. And that one of her favorite, two of her favorite phrases that I want to share with our homies was, "You're not better than anybody and you're not worse than anybody." And then her second phrase, which I use every day, is,
"Yeah, you
good
know,
manners
Annie
never
was
go out of style."
A big believer in, you know, you could do anything. She really made you believe that. It's really incredible that she felt that way, especially given the time that she was raised and being not just a woman, but a Black woman. And like you said, in Memphis, Tennessee. But even the fact that she finished high school at the time, you know, in 1942.
Class of 42.
Booker T. Washington High School. It was really incredible. And that, you know, I am really amazed when I think about mom and Nanny and just the way that they were feminist in their own, at their own time. That they
even with their names,
but right, that they believe that women should name their daughters after themselves. Carolina begets Carol, begets Carolyn, right? Carolyn Demetra has Demetra and Bemetra. Our middle names are Carolyn Lee. Like, we men don't just name their children after women, name their children after that.
Every woman is a derivative of her mother's name,
right? And then things that are just very prevalent today, like representation matters. My mother, growing up, you know. And she, you know, never had white dolls, and the amount of work
ever
that it took for Nanny to find that, and then mom to pass that
absolutely
on to us. So this whole like movement now of Black Panther and Wrinkle in Time and all of that, we grew up with that. We're not new to that. We've always had that, and that's from those women being in our lives and always seeing dolls and being told that we were beautiful just the way we were, even though society was not showing us that. We were taught that very early.
Great point. So we'd love to hear from you, homies, on who was your original woman inspiration in honor of Women's History Month. So after you finish listening,
and next month we'll have women actually in corporate America.
Right. So after you finish listening to the episode, please drop us a comment and let us know who your original inspiration is. And as always, we appreciate all the support. We appreciate all the feedback. You can find us on all things social, Corporate Homie, that's HOMIE, on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
Right. And if you have any questions or topics you want covered, please feel free to email us at questions@corporatehomie. If you want us to speak somewhere, email us at info@corporatehomie.com. And until next time,
hustle hard, homies.
All of you, get you a twin. Get you another homie.